Today, if you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, going to look at verses 11 through 24. Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." So this is better known as the parable of the prodigal son. The newer translations use different words there besides prodigal. Maybe the rebellious son,
the lost son,
or what have you. But this is the third story in this chapter 15 of Luke that Jesus gives to illustrate the concept of being lost. And the wonder and the joy and the exuberation of being found. He first talks about the parable of the lost sheep. And he says, "Which one of you having 90 or 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go and search diligently for that one sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he brings it, carrying it on his shoulders, and says, 'Rejoice with me, for this lost sheep was lost and now is found.'" And then he says in verses 8 through 10, he talks about a woman having 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not go through a lot of trouble and sweep the entire house and look diligently for that coin until she finds it? And when she finds it, what happiness and joy there is for finding that one lost coin. And here Jesus, in the parable of the prodigal son, puts it more into personal, makes it more personal. When we talk about our children, that gets close to the heart, doesn't it? It's one thing to lose a sheep. It's another thing to lose a coin. But when you lose a son, that really brings it home. And people can relate to that. Well, here in this story, the younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the inheritance. Give me my portion of goods that is due to me." The son thought that he knew what he wanted. "Let me have what is mine. Give me my inheritance now while I am young and while I'm strong, while I can enjoy it." You know, when you're young, you have energy and no money, and then when you get older, you have money but no energy. So maybe this guy thought, well, it just makes sense for me to be able to live life and enjoy life and just live it up while I can, and later on, then I'll go to work. Wouldn't it be great if the retirement plan worked that way? When you're young, as soon as you graduate high school, then you retire for 10, 15 years or whatever, and while you got plenty of energy and time and just enjoy life and then go to work. But it doesn't work that way. Well, this guy thought that would be a good idea in his mind, but he didn't think clearly at all about what was going on and what life would be like until he landed in the pig pen. The title of the message today is Pig Pen Pondering. Pig Pen Pondering. Finally, when he was in the pig pen, at the lowest of lows, where the only way he could look was up, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. So I want to look at several things here, five of them, and learn a little bit more about this guy and the way that he thought, and see if we can't relate to it, how we used to be, or hey, maybe how we are today, apart from God. First of all, he thought only of goods instead of God. Verse 11 and 12 says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. He thought only of his goods, thought nothing about God. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Why should he have to wait for it so long? Why should he have to work faithfully for his father when it belonged to him? It's mine. Now, he was the younger of two sons, and according to Old Testament law, there was a double portion of the inheritance that was given to the oldest son, so this guy would have got a third of the estate. But notice that the father said, okay, I'll give you what's yours, and let him go his way. He demanded his inheritance then, there and then, instead of waiting. Well, we live in a culture where people want their goods now. They don't want to have to wait. They don't want to have to work for it. They want their goods now. People want the top jobs. They want the top pay. They want the best of this and the best of that without having to work for it or prepare for it. They want everything that their parents have as at a young age when they don't realize that their parents had to work 30 years maybe to get what they've got. The average household today in America has thousands of dollars in credit card debt. In fact, it was about a year ago that the national credit card debt exceeded $1 trillion. If you think about, what is it, 330 million or so people in the United States today, however many households that represents, collectively, they owe over $1 trillion in credit card debt. What does that imply? It implies that people are not willing to wait to get the goods that they want. Let's just charge it up. Let's charge our credit cards to the max, and we'll get what we want now rather than saving for it. And they learn lessons the hard way. Impulse buying, I want this and I want it now, is a major problem. So the younger son in our story demands his share of the estate. He thought, having his own money, being his own boss, life is really going to be good. He wanted out from underneath his father, who was probably telling him what to do and where to go and giving him orders all day long. I want to be my own guy, be on my own, make my own decisions. But like so many others, he would find those goods that he received to be empty after a while. King Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 2 about the futility of working and amassing wealth and goods. Says it's all vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. He said, you spend all your whole life working and accumulate and building, and then you have to leave it to the one who comes behind you, and who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool. He said it's futility. It's vanity of vanities. He was the richest man that had ever lived. Finally, he came to the conclusion. Here's the conclusion of the matter, he wrote in Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Another guy in Luke chapter 18, just three chapters beyond where we're at today, called the rich young ruler, came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, and so on. The man said, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus knew his heart. He was rich. And how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Then come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. The young man, the rich young man, was not willing to do that. He went away sad because he had great riches. And that was his God. That was what he was living for. His goods. Jesus warned about the deceitfulness of riches in his parable of the sower. He said, seed that falls among thorns is like those who hear the word of God and they endure for a while, but then the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things comes in and chokes the word, and they become unfruitful. They become unfruitful. No longer busy or living for God, they're wrapped up in their possessions. Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not what life is all about. He says, don't labor for that which perishes, but labor for that which endures to eternal life. But many people today search for happiness in accumulating more and more wealth, more and more things. No wonder Jesus warned about people like that. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? It's vanity. It gets us off the real meaning of life. You can't take your money with you. The old saying is, you never see a U-Haul connected to the rear end of a hearse. You can't take it with you. So why spend so much time accumulating so much, so many goods? You can't buy one inch of space in heaven with that money. So like the prodigal son, many people think only of goods instead of God. You know, if you take God out of the picture, what else is there to live for? It's just the here and now. It's just what you see. It's just a pleasure that you can have and the things that you have. But if God is in your life, you know that there's something that's beyond. You know there's something that will endure. You know there's somebody you're going to stand before and give an account after this life is over. And so many people, however, think only of goods instead of God. Second thing, that this son, this prodigal son, he thought only of his flesh instead of his future. Look at verses 13 through 16 again. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He thought only of his flesh instead of his future. He didn't know what lay around the corner, just a few short weeks maybe ahead of him. He wasted everything that he had with wild living. It didn't take him long to run through with a fortune. Whatever his inheritance was, he ran through it just as fast as he could possibly go. My dad used to say, the fool and his money soon part ways. They don't stay together very long. We've all known people who, if they've got a dollar in their pocket, it burns a hole in it until they have to spend it. And that's what this guy did. He ran through with everything that he had in a very short time. Verse 30, his brother indicated that this younger brother had spent a lot of his money visiting prostitutes, that he wasted a lot of money doing that. You know, wealth with no accountability and no spiritual foundation leads to gross sin. It takes you farther than you ever intended to go. Why are so many athletes and stars and famous people hooked on drugs? Why do they get into that kind of a lifestyle if being rich and famous isn't so great? Why would they destroy themselves with that? Just a few names that died from drug overdoses: Michael Jackson, Prince, Whitney Houston, Jimi Hendrix, and the list is a mile long of rich and famous people that found no pleasure in all their fame and fortune, and they destroyed their lives by being hooked on drugs. Ended up dead at young ages. Why are the suicide rates and the divorce rates among the rich so high? There's a thing known as the curse of the lottery. You know, people think that if I can just win the lottery, I'll have it made, but it turns out more often than not that that lottery destroys their lives. They end up losing everything they have and end up poor and destitute. And that's the way this guy was. This prodigal son wasted everything that he had. The prodigal son's wealth, I'm sure, was spent on many other sins besides prostitution. You know, the desires of the flesh are so strong that it enslaves and destroys all who submit to it. Paul wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 5, he says, For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Your spirit that God gave, God is trying to constantly draw us up toward himself, toward heaven. But the flesh is constantly being dragged down by the earth and by the dust and wants to destroy us. And that war is constantly going on. They're contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. This guy, I'm sure, if he had thought about it and planned it a little better, would not have intended to end up in the pig pen, wanting to eat the food that the pigs ate. I'm sure that's not what his intention was. But he thought only of his flesh instead of his future. The person who falls prey to the prostitute, the Bible says, is not wise at all. Proverbs 7 says, "Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." And that's where this prodigal son found himself. Wild living, wasting his money on prostitution and whatever else. Guess what happened when his money ran out? The prostitutes went looking for somebody else. They didn't care anything about him. He was left destitute. The son finds himself in the pig pen of life, literally in the pig pen. And if you've ever been around pigs or hogs, it's a sloppy place. They love to wallow in the mire and the slop, nasty and dirty. And there he was, so hungry that he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. He had gone from riches to rags, lost it all. He had been well taken care of in his father's house, and now he was so low, beyond comprehension probably beyond recognition, if you were to see him. He had fallen so far and so fast. He had lost it all. He had thrown it all away. And what would he do about it? What could he do about it? Well, that brings us to point number three. He came to his senses and saw his sin. Verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" He was pondering in the pig pen, "How in the world did I get here where I'm at?" And he acknowledged his own sin, his own behavior, his own decisions, his own foolishness led him to where he's at. He came to himself. Your translation may say he came to his senses. He finally wised up and realized that he had dug his own grave. You know, coming to yourself or coming to your senses is where every sinner has to come to in order to be saved. We have to come to ourselves. We have to realize there's a better way. Unless we see that we are lost and needing God's mercy, we can never be saved. We can never have a future in heaven until we come to ourselves and realize there's a better way. He asked himself the question, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And here I am starving to death." He realized how good his father had been to him. You know, so many of us, when we're young, probably resent our fathers or our parents telling us what to do and being under their thumb and under their control, under their direction, and we want that independent spirit in us, wants our freedom to go and do our own thing. And then finally, it took me a long time to realize how good my dad was, how good he was to me, how smart he was. I would never admit that when I was young, But I realized finally, he was a very wise man. This guy here knew that even the servants in his father's house were much better off than him. But he did not ignore the situation, as some people might have done. He didn't say, well, I'm hungry, but I guess everybody else is too. Because it said there was a severe famine in that land. Everybody was in the same boat. Everybody was hungry. But he didn't say, well, misery loves company. I'll just stay in the mess that I'm in. I'll just tough it out like everybody else. I'm hungry, but everybody else is too. He didn't say, well, I'm feeding pigs, but a lot of other people are doing the same thing. He responded to the truth. He came to himself and realized how good he had it in his father's house. You know, some people excuse their misery by thinking everybody's in the same boat and I might as well be there too. Some people may not know that there's a better way. The eagle that grew up in the barnyard with the chickens thought he was a chicken too, until he saw the eagle soaring high above. And he realized, hey, that's where I'm meant to be. I'm meant to soar high above all the things in the barnyard. And mankind is supposed to soar high above the fleshly nature of animals. We are made in the image of God. We're not meant to dwell in places like this. We're made for something better than that. And so we have to come to our senses and see our sin and realize there's a better way. Number four, what would he do about it? He resolved to return to his father. Verses 18 through 21. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. He came to his senses, and he resolved to return to his father. You know, he had to humble himself to do that. He probably was a little hesitant, I'm sure, at least a little bit, to do that. You know, I made a fool out of myself. I'm going to have to go back to my dad who is going to probably say, I told you so. He had to humble himself before his father. He had to acknowledge his sin and his unworthiness to be his son. And that's where the person that is unsaved, the lost sinner, must come to as well. We must do the same before our Father God. Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm not worthy to be a son of God. Have mercy on me, please. Forgive me of my sin. And he will do that. He will forgive. Think for a minute of what this prodigal son would have done if he didn't have a father. If he didn't have a loving father, a household with plenty of food to spare, if he didn't know that he had that to go to, he would be hopeless. He would have stayed in the pig pen. The man ended up dead. But he did have a father. He came to himself and he realized, I do have a father and I will return to him. He had a very good father, as we saw there, that his father had compassion on him. This guy knew where to turn. Well, our children need to know where to turn as well in times of need. We teach our children to love God and to live according to his word. We labor year after year in the church telling them right from wrong, telling kids that God loves them and that he has a good plan for their life. But sometimes, in spite of it all, they turn against our teaching and they go their own way. But if they hadn't been taught to begin with, where would they turn in their time of need? If they didn't know there was a Father in heaven, if they had never been told about Jesus and his love for them, where would they go when they're in the pig pen of life? Where would I have turned today when my friend witnessed to me on the job about he is there to serve Jesus Christ if my parents had not sent me to Sunday school when I was a child? When I became older and could make my own decisions, I didn't go. Didn't want to. But I had at least something there that the Holy Spirit could use, that my friend witnessed to me, that God began to speak to my heart and draw me until I finally said, yes, I want to be a servant of the Lord. This prodigal son knew that he had a father that had taught him better than where he was at. I'm not meant to dwell here with the pigs and the slop. I am meant to soar like eagles. And so he returned to his father. And then number five, and finally, the father was eager to forgive. Eager to forgive. Look at verses 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Notice here for a minute what the son had rehearsed in his mind, what he was going to say to his father when he saw him. It says there, in verse 18 and 19, this is what he planned to say. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. But when he got to his father, he said part of that, but not all of it. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But before he could get out the rest of it, just make me a hired servant. The father said, let's rejoice. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. He didn't even have to come to the point of begging and saying, please just make me one of your hired servants. No, the father had something better for him. The father didn't reject him. The father didn't say, hey, what are you doing coming home? You made your bed, you go lie in it. Just keep on going down the road. You have nothing here anymore. He didn't have that attitude. And the father didn't hire him as a servant either. He didn't say, just come and be my servant now. He made him a full son. He restored him to his full position as a son. And notice that it said that he saw him when he was still a long way off. That indicates the father was looking for him. Can you imagine the anguish that this father was in day after day? That his son had gone to a distant country. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have cell phones. He didn't have text messaging, Facebook, anything like that to know where his son was at and what he was doing. He was just constantly concerned about him, constantly watching for him to come home. And when he saw him, when he was still a long way off, he ran to him and had compassion on him, hugged him, kissed him. He dressed him up in the best that he had and had a celebration. What a return, what rejoicing, what a reunion, what a kind father, good father this man had. And we have an even better father than that in heaven. When we get away from God and we come to our senses and we repent and we resolve to return, we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, I have sinned. Father, I have sinned. Please have mercy on me. And he will do it. So today, are you like the prodigal son? Have you taken your inheritance, everything that God has done for you and been so good to you, and run away from God with it? Know that you have a Father in heaven who is looking for you to come home. How much does he love you? Sometimes we ask our kids, how much do you love me? And they'll say, this much, this much. Well, Jesus said, this is how much I love you. He stretched out his arms completely wide on that cross. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Have you responded to Christ's love for you? He invites you, come home. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you, God. We're so thankful that you Do not reject us, Lord, when we have made our bed in the pig pen of life. God, and we come to ourselves. You have mercy. You have compassion. Lord, you rejoice because we were dead spiritually, but we're alive again because we returned to our Father. We were lost, but then we are found. We were blind, but then we see, as the old song says. God, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will help us to rejoice in what a Father we have, how you are so good. And may we stay close by you. May we return to you. May we rejoice in our salvation. Rejoice that our name is written in heaven, that we're a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. And Lord, may we never leave that nor forsake it. Lord, just draw us by your Spirit to call upon you, whatever our need is, we pray in Jesus' name.